Libby Purvis, July 2011, Yachting Monthly. Roars of laughter came from upstairs, a surprising sound when you believe your spouse to be virtuously doing his VAT return. But no, he had succumbed to distraction, God bless the internet. He was reading YM Scuttlebutt. He fell upon a thread well worth unearthing about the worst raft-ups and raft-ors people had ever experienced. One chap was threatened with a hammer in the middle of the night, another woke to find an irate fellow sailor manhandling a reluctant cat on the foredeck. Aggression, lack of welcome, stolen fenders and all-night parties were remembered. Rarely, it seems, do passions run higher. Those who anchor miles from anybody, or only hop from marina to marina, arranging decorously private berths in a gentlemanly manner from well outside the harbour on the phone, will not be as sensitive to the issue as those of us with a long history of crowded harbours, Irish piers, fishing boats, and muddy wrangles from Stromness to Santander and Burnham to Belle-Isle. But rafting up is indeed the sternest test of seamanlike good manners, maritime etiquette, and mutual tolerance. In what other social world do you glide up to someone's outer wall, centimetres thick, step onto their roof with a slimy rope, cause the dinner tables of strangers to rock as they eat the soup, and then spend the evening making your way to and fro over their heads with bags full of shopping and tipsy friends? How often do you have to ask your next-door neighbour impertinent questions like, "What time are you getting up in the morning?" or to remind them in a civil but unjudgmental tone that they really ought to take a proper line ashore rather than hang all night off yours in a gale with their socking great heavy 40-footer? Garden fence and Lelandai hostilities are nothing compared to the question of people running unpadded ropes over a stranger's varnished toe-rail, ignoring all fair leads. The odd football over the suburban hedge is more easily borne than a procession of children dripping sand, seawater and melted ice lolly juice down a forehatch onto a bachelor stranger's upholstery for the fourth time that afternoon. Actually, one of the best deterrents to the cheery cry of, "Can I come alongside?" is a rail covered in small T-shirts and nappies. Strong men flinch and move on. I suspect some people are carrying a supply of deterrent infant wear for this very purpose, even when their children have left university. Basic civilities are obvious. Put out shorelines, cross the inner boats only by the foredeck, nod civilly, but do not engage in unwanted conversation. Cease playing the accordion at 10:30 p.m. and, if necessary, offer to slip out and resecure the outer boat without waking them in the morning. But we are all under stress one way or another, especially in British weather, and incidents involving hammers, cats and yelling are strangely understandable. We once came into Ramsgate, dripping and exhausted, to find the only sensible berth was alongside a German boat with "no mooring alongside" sign on it. Having been directed there by the harbour master, we approached. A furious woman emerged, shaking her fist. Paul flinched and began looking around for worse places to go, but a terrible Valkyrie moment assailed me, and I sprang onto our foredeck, and as he made a circling approach, engaged in a violent discussion with the good Frau in both languages. Her husband emerged, gave mine a terrified conspiratorial glance, and removed the sign. Anything rather than a catfight. We did not bond that evening, but we lay safe. Another time in France, we were in a sunflower raft round a big buoy when the fishing fleet came in at midnight and unceremoniously untied two unoccupied yachts from its pier and left them to their fate. The wind blew them down on our raft, and we all stood poking boat hooks, blunt end first to a British gentleman, to keep them off our topsides. This went on for half an hour, during which Paul kept saying, "If this were Britain, a leader would have emerged by now." The French victims just shrugged amiably. They were mainly on charter boats. But even better was the experience related by a grand old Royal Something Yacht Club matron. She once tied a small yacht up to a big fishing boat overnight with its permission. Unfortunately, its rather hungover crew failed to remember or to notice it when they set out to sea in the morning. She woke up outside the harbour mouth doing a distinctly bumpy 15 knots with all the cleats straining. She shot on deck, just as she was, to inform them of their oversight. "I have never," she said solemnly, "undressed on a boat since that night." But being a lady, she didn't threaten them with a hammer or a cat.